Hello, welcome once again to the Candid Cast. My name is Lucky Egede, your host on this channel and your favorite coach. I expect that you have been following our teachings on financial independence, and we are dwelling for now on the common financial errors that people make in their youth that they use the rest of their lives to regret. My expectation and desire for you is that you don't fall victim. Before we go into the fifth episode, where we'll be looking at another error that people make in their youth, which they are not able to correct, they just live in regret and die in regret, and you will not be part of it. I want you to subscribe to our channel, click the notification button, give us a like, then share for your friends and loved ones. We are also, apart from YouTube, we are on other social media channels like Instagram, Facebook. We are on audio podcasts as well. Thank you. So, we continue our study of common mistakes. Today, in this fifth episode, we are studying failure to take risk in your youth. I closed last week's episode by telling us that our bodies get weaker as we age. The muscles, the bones, everything about us gets weaker. That is not the time to take risk. When you are young, don't run away from risk. Take all the risk that you can. But those risks must be calculated, because stupid risk can also be very dangerous. We should know that life is full of risk. And to be risk averse is to be confined to financial poverty. Every person that you see that is financially independent has embraced risk as a friend. Risk is not your enemy. And until you take risk, you go nowhere. Risk is a friend. What do we know as risk? See, it's an inherent part of life and decision making. Every bit of life requires risk. To rise up from bed is a risk. To go and bait, we know of some people, one former governor for your state died in the bathroom. People sleep and died. There was another very rich man that died in a bathroom in Sierra Leone. Slept. So even to go and take your bath can be a form of risk. It refers to that possibility of experiencing loss or negative outcome. Things will not always come out as we want it. Like on the 3rd day of June in 2012, Dana Air Flight 0992 that was flying from Abuja to Lagos suffered dual engine failure and crashed on residential buildings in Lagos. 153 people on board were killed, along with 6 on ground. Those people on ground, some of them have never entered any aircraft. Some may have been afraid of flying and say, oh, flight is very risky, I don't want to travel by flight. And yet, while in their homes, they still died in plane crash. That's how risky life can be. So does it really make sense running from risk? In my village, the way we put it, they say, when somebody chokes to death while eating, those who came for burial will still eat. That is the nature of risk. The risk that killed A should not send B away from taking risk. In the context of financial risk, is uncertainty associated with investment returns or potential for financial loss? Is there possibility that I could suffer loss? There is no investment that has no possibility of a loss. When you listen to every investor, if you don't want to make loss, you cannot make profit. So those who run away from loss cannot stand loss. You can also not stand profit. It will be very difficult for you to take those steps that will lead to profit. So when people are discussing investment, one of the things that I see that is always uppermost in their mind is return on investment. When we talk of ROI, where our minds go quickly to return on investment. So truly, in the accounting platform, the parlance, the accounting language, ROI is return on investment. But for the financial literacy class, we don't see ROI as just return on investment. We see it as return of investment. So rather than calculate, when you are talking of return on investment, you are looking at, will this investment yield profit? How profitable is it? If I put 1,000 naira, how much money will it come back as 1,200 or 1,300? The difference is my return on investment. But in the financial literacy class, we leave the return on investment. We discuss first return of investment. This 1,000 naira that is going out, will it come back? And until I'm sure that my 1,000 naira will come back, I am not bothered about how much profit will come on it or not. So if in the pursuit of profit that will come on it, the capital is lost, that's a terrible risk to take. So let's learn to check return of investment rather than return on investment. There are different types of risk. It varies. There is financial risk, there is personal risk, as in potential of loss that affect individual's life or health. You can do certain things. People who smoke, when you see the advertisement of cigarettes, say cigarette smokers are liable to die young. Those people are taking risk of their lives, of their health, of everything to take cigarette. And yet some people take it. It's a risk that they are taking. They will tell you that I know one man, 70 years old, he has been smoking, he did not have cancer. Fine. It does not mean that you will not have. So those are risks to avoid. Relationship risk. Strategic risk, as in potential for losses arising from poor business decision. You can make a decision and ask yourself, how did I get here? You have also risk of competition. You can open a business and somebody comes. You didn't anticipate the competition, but somebody rents the shop next to your own and opens and introduce a competition that you never anticipated. It's a risk. You're opening, you cannot stop others from opening. They will still open and they will become your competitors. Regulatory compliance risk. I recall, I didn't know, for example, that St. Louis sugar that we started consuming from when in my cradle is no longer allowed in Nigeria. And I had to pay fine for selling St. Louis sugar in my business. So that's a regulatory risk. And the fine was not any small money. So we can face those things that we didn't know of. So when we are talking of financial risk, because that's what we dwell today, the possibility of losing money on an investment or business venture. When you invest, will it always be rosy? The answer is no. That's why the Bible says, he that observes the wind will not sow. Anybody checking that everything must be perfect, the conditions must be right before you invest, you will never be an investor. We just weigh the risk. And the way Solomon put it in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 from verses 1 to 2, Solomon did not advise us to run away from risk. Rather, he recommended you sell your grain in the market overseas, throw it abroad. After a while, you might earn something from it. Then he also said, try to succeed by doing many things, not one, many. After all, you don't know what great trouble might come on the land. The world is full of troubles. You can imagine somebody just doing business in Ukraine. All of a sudden, you wake up, Russia has invaded Ukraine, and it's like it will end in a week, it will end in 2 weeks, and they've been there for years now. That's a great risk. But assuming that person has in Ukraine, and he has in England, and he has in the US, he has in Nigeria, when one is destroyed, you can have the other as your fallback position. Even within the same country, you can scatter your investment here and there. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. It can be very risky. What are the forms of risk that we face financially? There is market risk. The risk of losses in the market. I recall in Nigeria, we borrowed money in 2022, borrowed money at 14% per annum. And by 2024, repayment is at 32% per annum on the same credit. And when it was given to you at 14%, it was for a 4-year tenure. Within that 4 years, interest rate has gone from 14% to 32% on the same credit. This is a risk. How do you survive it? And yet, people will survive it. It will wipe out some people, but some others will survive it. That's the reason we are studying this, that you should anticipate certain things so that when it happens, a businessman should not be taken by surprise all the time. You live in Nigeria, you should anticipate foreign exchange fluctuation, anticipate interest rate changes, anticipate inflation. All these things are built into every business that will thrive in Nigeria. If you don't build it in, you don't stand the chance of running a good business in Nigeria. Make provision for it in your planning. It's always necessary and it is very important. Number two, risk. Credit risk. Wealth we buy, we sell. It is a risk. Like we say in business, you have not produced until you sell. So if you are a producer, until you sell, production is useless because the market is where the business is. If what you produce in January is not sold, you produce in February, it's not sold, your warehouse will be filled, cost of warehousing will be biting on you. I recall when I used to import goods from UK and sell in Nigeria, I sold to one supermarket that bought my goods and refused to pay. They finished selling the goods at their own personally determined markup. I have no intervention. I didn't ask them how much they would sell. They mark up to their satisfaction. They sold, finished the entire product, asked me to supply another one without paying for the earlier supply. What nonsense. I said, pay my money before you place order for next supply. They refused to pay. We have to use our distribution van to barricade their door to enforce payment and severe relationship with such customer. Many people see it as taking the laws into your hands. Why not sue them? Why not go to court? If I was in Britain, honestly, I will sue. If I was in US, I will sue. In Nigeria, I'll be in court for 5 years. And interest will be running on that money. The man will be laughing and trading with my money while we are arguing in court. So, the recommendation, find alternative dispute resolution. Our legal system is very, very weak to support lawful businesses. Number three, risk, liquidity risk. The risk that an entity will be unable to meet its regular obligation. That's normal obligation that you will take for granted. Not because you don't have the money hanging somewhere, but because like in the example I gave, if I promise somebody, okay, I supply these goods, this person will pay me in 2 weeks, then I will pay you. The person to pay me in 2 weeks didn't pay me in 2 months. He will make me a liar before the other person that I promised to pay. That's a risk in business. So I may have been very genuine when I was making my promise, but at the end of the day, you find that I am not able to fulfill it because it depended on some other persons honoring their own obligation to me. We also have operational risk, the risk of loss from inadequate or failed internal processes or systems. I've given an example before of when I started my business, I had somebody who was falsifying records. We make sales, you go inside the sales record, the software, and delete part of the sales with a view to stealing cash. And by the time we are reconciling lodgement in the bank and the sales record, the figures will tally. Because the figure that was stolen is the same as the figure that was deleted from the system until this person was discovered, and we put measures in place to make sure it never happens again. So what do we do with this risk? Why are we learning about risk? We learn them because they are avoidable. Every risk is not to be risk averse, but that there is something you can do about it. Avoiding is not running away from risk or analyzing all the things you can do to run away from risk until you are paralyzed and you do no business, you do no work, you do nothing. So when I wake up, because some people traveling from Lagos to Ibadan, they had an accident, there was tanker that fell out of Tedola and vehicles were burnt, that's why I should trap myself in the house. No. Going out is a risk. It does not mean that I will not go out. We will keep going, we will keep moving. But what do we do about those risks? Okay, the first thing we do about risk is that we identify the risk. What manner of risk are attributable to this type of business that I want to do? And what impact will it have on my financial situation, my personal life, my business operations? So this will involve a deep study to help us understand the potential, the consequences of those risks. If I get into it, what do I do? The business that sank Mr. A may be the business that B will go into and prosper. It's just the difference between two of them is the knowledge. And why a business will sink somebody is that knowledge gap. The moment we discover what we need to know about the business. So don't go into business like we do in this environment. I recall one of the most laughable one was when I started fish farming. I sold my land somewhere and bought two cars at the same time, one for myself, one for my wife. And we took the two to church to go and dedicate. Let's pray and thank God for two cars. And this brother that bought two cars, what does he do? He says he's a fish farmer. Everybody wanted to do fish farming, thinking that it is the most lucrative business in the world. That's not true. The fish farming was making terrible losses. It was from my land that I bought the vehicles, not from the fish farming. We need to go close. That's where mentoring becomes important. Go close to people you think are making it in business. Understand what helps them to make it. Understand the risk that they are taking. Understand what they did to surmount those risks. All those are knowledge of the risk. What are the risks involved in this business? And what are the things I can do to bail myself out and be one of those who will survive in that line of business? So when we have gotten to know the risk, the first is knowledge of the risk. Number two is the assessment of the risk. Assess the likelihood of the risk. It's not every risk that you anticipate that has, some have 10% chances of happening, some have 90% chances of happening. So many of the things that we fear may not even happen at all. Some have very zero chance of happening. So do an assessment of the risk. After you have identified the risk, determine the severity, assuming it happens. What is the severity of it? How much can it hurt me if it actually happened? Then it will now help me to prioritize. So you see, for many people who fall victim of Ponzi schemes, like we have seen severally in Nigeria, it is the failure of risk assessment. Like I've mentioned earlier, if banks are giving out money at 30%, at 33%, at 34%, at 36%, this is about 3% a month or less. Why will somebody ask me for my money that he will pay me 10% a month? If your business is so good, go to the bank and take money and do the business. Enjoy yourself. You can support charity. But that I should bring money. Somebody will tell you there is money somewhere and we need money to decode it. And it's my money you use to decode it. Those are things that you know, it is not likely that your money will come back. So we should be wise enough not to fall for such things. Those are errors. And this thing catches up with young people because of inexperience. I've lived long enough to know the victims of Ponzi scheme from the days of Umana to today. So many of the young people under the age of 30 may not have heard of Umana. But those are the early days of Ponzi scheme. You have all the, there are so many, too many. And it looks like we don't learn. There is no one that comes out and does not catch people. I don't know why people still fall victim today. There is enough history to learn from. Then, after I have known the risk and I have studied with the possibility of its happening, I will now look number three. The one that may happen, how do I mitigate against it? There are several ways, several things you can do to mitigate risk. You develop strategies to reduce or eliminate the impact of risk. Somebody is building a business. There are risks that you anticipate in the business. So what do you do about it? Number one, you can practice diversification. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Like what I did as a person. From 2003 to 2008, I was very prominent in the stock market. That was my main business. But once I make enough money to buy a property, I will move out, invest in property. So move money out of stock, invest in properties. Other people were investing in summer tickets. A lot of people made money from the capital market, and they were flying London 3 times a year to go summer. A lot of people knew all the latest cars. Those are not things that you do. That's not diversification. You are just consuming. So the spread of the investment into other portfolios has helped me as a person, and I can recommend it for other people. So when there was a collapse in 2008, my properties came to the rescue, like I mentioned earlier today, that even when everything was down, I was able to buy 2 cars in a day because I sold a property. That property I bought from my investment in the stock market. So when the stock market was okay, I was buying properties. When the stock market was down, the properties have appreciated, and I had the ones I could sell to solve my problem. Children are going to school. I had properties I could look up to solve my problem. I want to start a new business. I had properties I could look up to start a new business. So diversification is very important, and it takes us back to Solomon's recommendation in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 2. He said, put your investment across several sectors because you do not know what trouble will come on the land. So when trouble comes on any side of the investment, there are others to the rescue. Number two, you outsource some of your risk. That's I call insurance outsourcing of risk. You hear somebody built a business and all of a sudden the business goes up in flame. What happens to that person if the business catches fire? Everybody will ask, did you insure? Is it insured? I gave you an example of somebody. You find in the markets, for example, most markets in Nigeria, you find New Benin market is on fire, or Mandela's market is on fire. Oh, government, come to our rescue. Government, come and help. It is not the responsibility of government. It's the responsibility of insurance. And every market man, every market woman, I recommend that you insure against fire. Insure your goods against fire. So you don't shout government when it happens. Number three, contingency planning. Prepare for the unexpected events. Having backup resources in place. I've heard someone say, everyone preparing against disaster. You know, we read Bible differently. When a minister will come and say, everyone preparing against disaster is expecting a disaster because Job said, what I fear most has come upon me, because Job was expecting disaster. That is not true. These things are not true. So you don't get disaster because you are expecting disaster. And you don't avoid disaster by being reckless. Even when you are expecting the best, prepare for the worst. The person that insure against fire is not expecting fire to burn up his business. But when you insure, if the fire doesn't come, good luck. You thank God for it. You don't need to make claim. I insure everything that I have, and my wish and my prayer is that I will not have an insurance claim. I don't want to suffer loss, even if I have insured. But I will still insure literally everything that I have. So, the next thing, number four, after we talk about outsourcing some of your risk, put up robust processes. Robust processes that will mitigate against risk. In 2014, I gave the example when I suffered the loss of lots of money from somebody who was altering our sales records and stealing cash that was meant to be deposited in the bank. We put processes in place that today, I can tell you, it is not possible for anybody to delete invoice and steal cash. There are processes that you can put in place to avoid that. So each time we discover something new that somebody has done, we put measures in place to make sure nobody is ever able to do it again. Thieves are also researching new methods. We know it. We also research how to make sure they are not able to carry out their antics. And finally, do monitoring and review of your risk system. Is the risk you know today, why I said thieves are also researching, what you know as risk when you are starting the business. I recall when some people started, like supermarket, in the 70s and 80s, they were not using software. You sell into a table drawer, and you come in the evening and ask boys, how much did you sell? You expect them to be honest and bring out their sales. But as wickedness increases, you don't expect anybody, no matter the level of religiosity of the person you hire today, you cannot leave him to sell at his own pace and just say, how much did you sell? I expect him. There must be a software to tell you how much this person has sold, so there are no arguments. Risk is an inalienable part of life and decision making. So we anticipate risk in everything we do. When we understand the different types of risk and we have effective implementation of our risk management strategies, we'll be able to navigate the uncertainties that will hit us as we journey through life. In all of this, risk avoidance is not an option. You must embrace risk as your friend if you will go anywhere. Thank you for listening and staying tuned to the Candid Cast today. God bless you.